Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Spirit Seeker Hour. Spirit Seeker Hour is your chance to delve into the world of your inner spirit. The Spirit Seeker Hour is brought to you by Spirit Seeker Magazine. Go to www.spiritseeker.com to find out more. And now, here's Cindy Meyer.
Hello and welcome. And it is my pleasure to host this show each and every week. And it has been brought to you by Spirit Seeker Magazine. And we each week have a different author or a musician, or tonight we have an author, poet, musician, oh my goodness, all kinds of things we could, you know, name with our next guest. And we're going to bring him on in just a moment. But just a few things I wanted to just say before we get there. You know, doing a radio show on Blog Talk or any other internet really is such an opportunity for all of us to come together as a live forum. And because it's a blog, every single word, every song, everything becomes part of the, you know, the imprints, shall we say, of people coming together. And this show is listened to live tonight by many people, but it's also listened to at all hours of the day and night because every show is archived. And I think that that is the beautiful part of any type of blog, but much less, you know, especially with blog radio. So if you like the show, there's several ways that you can support this type of platform. You can go to the blogtalkradio.com/Cindy Meyer, which is my homepage, and you can favorite the show. You can also send an email to spiritseeker@info@spiritseeker.com, asking to be put on our mailing list. But if you favorite the show and do that, then both ways you'll get an email notification, and it helps us reach more people. So, okay, that's my big little talk about Blog Talk. So now, oh my gosh, I am bringing on our guest, Paul Goldman, who is this fabulous person from the Kansas City area. As I said, he wears many hats. He is the founder and owner of Stone Spirit Lodge, and he'll tell us a little bit about that. He's an author, musician, and he's a promoter. So, Paul, welcome to the call.
Hi, Cindy. Thanks. Forgive my voice this evening if it goes in and out. I have been fighting a cold like many people.
Oh, I'll send you some Reiki through the air.
Thank you.
So, but I understand. And one time I saw Wayne Dyer speak, and he had absolutely no voice, and he whispered. And I have to tell you something. We all just, like, got so much out of him whispering that, you know, no one, you know how normally you kind of listen and sort of listen. Oh, no, everyone, you know, totally listen.
Maybe I should whisper. Okay.
Oh, I'm teasing, but at any rate, so how are things in Kansas City and with your center and, you know, and then we'll go into your new book.
Things are wonderful in Kansas City. We're doing lots of interesting things, providing a lot of music and spiritual opportunities.
Yeah, so listeners, this gentleman was responsible single-handedly for David Pamal coming to the Midwest, and you know, when you called me or emailed, I think you called and said, I'm bringing David Pramal, I just was like, you probably could hear the scream from St. Louis all the way to Kansas City. Because to take that on, I mean, she had never really been here for years and years and years, like way back when. And you had over 600 people there. Weren't you like the second largest city with attendance?
Yes, it was phenomenal. Yeah. There are lots of people that I reached out to that helped with the show, yourself included. And it was really cool. We had 530 people at Unity Temple in the Plaza, September 28th. It was one of the larger shows that's been there for a while. And actually, we had room for 1,250. And nevertheless, it was phenomenal to be involved with that.
Yeah. I mean, they just were exquisite that night and just so grateful. And a lot of their start, they said, had started in Unity Churches. So, you know, or Unity Temples, and here you were. You invited them in, and they were just so grateful. And such a blessing. So so tell us about Stone Spirit Lodge, how that came to be, and, you know, how you got into the whole idea of even bringing in guest speakers and things.
Stone Spirit Lodge was really born about 3 years ago. It was a kind of a rainy day in Excelsior Springs, Missouri. My wife Dawn and I were walking around downtown in Excelsior Springs and came to the corner of Thompson and Spring Streets. Came to this intersection of these. There was these two buildings. They were limestone buildings. We kind of looked at each other and said, "Stone Spirit Lodge." That was actually the birth of it, Cindy. We don't know where the name came from. You know?
That's the first I've heard that. That's interesting.
And then we thought it would be maybe an Excelsior. We looked at the buildings and we realized it wasn't quite there yet. And so we looked around in Kansas City and found the right location in Westport. And we're waiting to see what the next evolution of Stone Spirit Lodge is going to be, exactly what that will look like.
So you have partially a gift shop, and then you also, why don't we hear your website?
It's www.stonespiritlodge.com.
And then just tell us, just for people who want to find you, and, we now have your website, but for those in the Kansas City area, I know you do all kinds of things with your center. So can you tell us just a little bit of the offerings?
We have all kind of spiritual classes ongoing, a oneness blessing group that meets Tuesdays from 7 to 9. And we have an insight meditation class on Sundays, and moving to do a lot more music. We generally have music on Friday and Saturday night. The second Friday, we do a gratitude open mic night. And it's a venue for poets and performers to come, musicians, and celebrate.
That's really nice. You must attract, different people each month with all new creativity and energy.
Really in the last 14 months, it's been amazing to see the number of people who've connected here. And one of the things that we'll always be pleased with Stone Spirit Lodge is that we had an ad out one time that said, "Where community happens." It's the kind of place where you see people calling each other on their cell phones to make sure that you got the number in the other phone,
That's really nice, though.
There's couples that have met here. There's musicians that have collaborated from here. Any number of people.
Wow. And then, your book. I mean, this is a beautiful book. I love the cover. I love your poetry. And this is your first published book. Am I right?
Well, it's the first published book with a publisher. Okay, now I have two other books and a CD before this. So I actually self-published prior to this. And that goes back to February of 2010. I went into the studio, in December, January, with Tom Jacobs. A lot of people know as a musician, meditation instructor, yoga, all-around wonderful guy who's building his own retreat center. We went into the studio and recorded 30 tracks, 30 poems, and he did guitar and a little bit of vocal on some of them. And what we produced was phenomenal. Jeff Schiller, the sound engineer, just happened to stop by. I hadn't talked to him for a while. And he was retelling the story about how in all of his 30-plus years of experience of sound engineering, he'd never seen somebody go in the studio and do what we did in 4.5 hours.
That's just totally when spirit is present and saying, let's play and let's just get it done.
It was amazing. You know? And then that was February. We got the CD out there last year, and then I got connected with a woman out of Santa Monica, California, River Sanctuary Publishing, Annie Elizabeth, with that. Actually met her in San Diego at the Unity People's Convention in June. And ended up doing a cooperative publishing on my book, Wild Joy Ruminations. And that came out in July.
Wow. So you've been busy. I didn't even know you did all this. I mean, I knew you had the music and I knew you had this book, but I had no idea that you had published before as well. So very creative. So with the book, how did Journey into Oneness how did you conceive this? Did you start writing poetry and then you just put it all together, or did you have the idea of a book of poetry? I mean, how did this happen?
Well, we have to take you back, Cindy, and the listeners, about 3 years ago again. And I tell the story. I was in a spiritual awakening class, and a friend of mine, Mark, suggested I go. He'd always been my literary writer buddy. We'd been in a critique group going way back, and it always took him a bit back on some of my poetry to see where I was coming from until he himself went to the spiritual awakening class, and it kind of blew his mind wide open. And so he suggested I go to the spiritual awakening class, which I did. And what happened was that even though I'd been writing poetry since I was a kid and writing poetry, experiencing periods of drought like a lot of writers, and there was spiritual poetry interspersed with other kinds of poetry, what happened was, It was as if the dam had broken. And all this beautiful spiritual poetry began to pour through. And really, like Rumi himself, or one of the other old mystics, and you know, the words of love from the beloved began to flow through, and it became easy. I became the transcriber of these words, if you will.
Well, and, you know, listeners, I'm just going to name the poets, the poems, and then we're going to, Paul, do you have your book handy where you could actually read one?
Or I do.
Voice? Oh,
I do.
Good. Okay, so I'm just going to, I'm going to name several of the titles from each section, and then we'll have Paul read a few just right here so we can hear his voice doing them. It's like the I, which is the part one, a self in seven parts, at last a beautiful boy. For this morning, anything could happen. Whale song, her beloved presence. In each breath, beneath silent waters, waves of bliss. And I love this one, divine pit crew. Now, there are many more, but then I'm going to have you read a couple from each section. And we'll, you know, I'm sure you have your favorites. Am I right?
Oh, I do. I do.
Yeah, we have to be hard, but let me go to the next section, and then we'll come back and read some right here. The part two is the not I, endless joy, cracked open, a radiant love, here now, another's eyes, eclectic moment. Here's another one, sow the seeds of love, sacred voice, lights on. And then part three, the one, this big, in our dreams, visualized. Hearken the call, knowing the divine hand. I mean, these are, this is like each one is just like this beautiful title, and then it unfolds right there on the page. So you, okay, I'm going to have you pick one or two from each section, and then we'll hear it live from you.
Okay. It's interesting, while I'm kind of thumbing through here to get this first part started, in the past I would write, and then I'd go, what is this about? What's the title? Now, the process with these and really the last few years has been I write the title, then I write the poem. That's why they unfold, I think, as you're talking about. How about that?
That's fascinating.
Let's do Whale Song. This has actually also been published at a site, I think it's called spiritualhealing.com, since the book came out. They took that. Whale Song. Two southern right whales sing to me every night in my dreams, and I know each note as if it were being played across the rhythmic strings of my heart. None of the arpeggio scales are foreign, each sung in striking chords I've played before, spontaneous, without musical sight or tone talent. I feel the current move beneath the waters of my being as my own molecular structure answers their oceanic call. I am changed in ways I've yet begun to realize and know the tides have only just begun as I sink further and further beyond the boundaries of this place, further into becoming no more than a whale song myself.
That is beautiful.
Ah, thank you. This one is entitled... I think I got the right one. Hang on a second. I'm just going to go with these, whatever section, but I think it's in the first section because I'm juggling the phone and the book.
I know. I understand. That's why I have a producer. I can't do it all.
This is called Give In Again. It seems to pass the test of faith is to be visited repeatedly by doubt. Up until the very moment, doubt's mask peels away to reveal only love. And then in that instant, there's nothing left to do except believe, just believe forever. Okay. Oh, this is a good one for this season. This is called Cracked Open. By now, our hearts have cracked open like so many holiday walnuts. We can even try and scoop each of the shell remnants and attempt to replace the covering. Yet we know this is futile. As once opened, our hearts continue to expand out from our individual self into the world at large. What began as a place where the light rarely peeked in now has this streaming light showering beams both ways into us and reflected out to everyone we meet. We revel in this being cracked open, feeling wave upon wave of love pulsating through each beat of our newly opened heart ongoing.
I like the one for this morning. Can we read that one?
I can. Let me find that.
It's so simple. It's on page 7. I just really like this one. I think anyone could read this every morning to start their day.
That's what people have been telling me. There's different ones that really resonate.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. For this morning, I am present. Everything I could ever ask for, I already have. All that I need do now is recite my favorite mantra. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I am present.
To me, it just says it all. There it is. It's like, it's just beautiful.
Thank you. The actual title I'm working on for my next book, which is done. I've probably got 3 books since I turned this one in February. And it would be called Short Shifts. Because a lot of them have become, I don't do haikus, but even shorter than that one. They've become very succinct. There, it just takes a few words to say something so phenomenal.
Mm-hmm.
And I say that humbly because I feel like these, I'm the one who has the craft that's writing the words, and the words are pouring through me. So,
Well, you know, I mean, that was the thing with Rumi. I mean, he just packed a powerful punch in a very melodic, something short, you know, and as you know, I'm a feng shui consultant, and you try and teach people that less is more, and they don't get it, but then what you're describing is basically less is more. And
it is, until you hear somebody like a new friend, Dan First, who does Rumi. He becomes Rumi. It's not even fair to call him a Rumi impersonator. I'm not sure what the word would be. He inhabits Rumi. When he reads it, he'll do some of the lengthier pieces that are just as phenomenal and will rock you. I mean, really. You did mention one from, I think, the middle section, too.
Well, before we go there, can we read soul groups?
Okay. You got your favorites, all right?
You know what? I do.
Okay, cool. That's fine with me.
Okay.
That's fine with me. That's even better. Because they're all divinely picked anyway, whether you do or I do.
Yeah. No. I mean, after this one, we go to part 2, so, a few more down. But, okay, here we go.
All righty. This is soul groups. And make sure I am. Okay. We who enter this circle tonight know at the depth of our being that now is not the first time we've met. The moment my eyes lock on yours, you and I know that our bare feet have walked these same lands together before, traversed the globe on many a sacred journey beneath 1,000 suns and 1,000 moons. This feels so familiar because we've drummed, danced, chanted, and sung amongst our soul group here with us now. As sure as the stars that hang in the night sky this evening, yet hung then long ago. Yes, I look around and see each one of you, not much different than the way I remember you. You may be a man or a woman now, old or young, this color or religion or another. Yet the essence of you is revealed in the stellar depth of your eyes, and they do not lie.
Isn't it just gorgeous? I mean,
I hadn't read that one for a while. It gets me.
Well, and it does. And it's like, you know, these sacred circle. You know, this is a sacred circle on Blog Talk. Every Tuesday night we come together. And it's like, you know, it's like here we are. We've done this before, many of us, and we're being called together to do it again. And, you know, it's just, you know, and I also liken this to a fireside chat. I feel sometimes like Teddy Roosevelt, you know, here in our living rooms. Instead, it's like Paul and Cindy tonight. And, you know, I mean, think about it. It's just so special to be able to have this, you know, forum, so to speak, that where we can all come together. And, you know, people all over the world listen to this radio show. I get emails from all over the world. It's just fascinating to me.
Isn't that phenomenal?
It is. I mean,
I experienced that myself and I mentioned it because I like to and I can. I set up, when I put the CD out February last year, I set up a Facebook page for the CD, Wild Joy Release, The Ecstatic Poetry of Paul Goldman on Facebook. So since that time, it's almost up to 12,000 fans around the world.
Isn't it just fabulous?
Which, I mean, and they're from every country. Every walk of life, every country, you know, not every, but, I mean, certainly a great representation of countries around the world. It's phenomenal. Who can respond to this kind of enlightening information?
Well, and maybe this is a perfect time right now to play one of the songs. So I know Nate has them all cued, and I don't know the order that he has them. So, Nate, can you tell us what we're going to hear first?
I think I can choose.
Oh,
Nate gave me the choice.
Choose. Okay.
I'll just jump in. One that I really love because I think it speaks to the message of a lot of these poems about honoring, owning, and coming to know that we're loved beyond measure and that get in touch with our own divinity, and that's And the Heavens.
You know, that's the one I was so drawn to. Okay, so Nate, if we can hear that one, please, that would be great.
And the heavens opened anew, and she spoke the words I'd longed to hear. I love you, my precious child, as I always have. You are the one I hope for. Some of you may call foul, implore that I'm all too human. No Moses here, no fiery bush nearby. Please go ahead and beseech the divine. I've tried to no avail. The refrain has been the same. I love you, my precious child, as I always have. You are the one I hope for. But wait, I stammered. I'm not Buddha, Mary, Jesus, Muhammad, or any other enlightened being. I'm just another human. My pleas went unheeded too. She revealed to me who I was and the reason I'd chosen to return this lifetime. Just to learn to love. Nothing more. Nothing less. In that instant I knew there was no turning back, no denial that would suffice. As humbly as I could, I set out to practice her command, to become love in all that I do. Every thought, deed and prayer steeped in pure divine love, until that day has come when there's nothing left to question, as there is only love, pure love.
Very nice.
Thank you.
Now tell us again about the CD and how the listeners can, because listeners, listen to this. What, I mean, it's a perfect Christmas gift or Hanukkah gift, or you know, this is perfect for someone that's a little bit different. So, Paul, how do they find their way? Do they go to the website, or is there a better way?
They can find it at the website. That's a place to purchase. They can also go to cdbaby.com and listen to some of the tracks there, short snippets of them.
And the website again is www.stonespiritlodge.com. I'll repeat that. It's stonespiritlodge.com.
Mm-hmm.
And CD Baby is fabulous. They're really good, really good with shipping and all that. I mean, that's a great person to have handling your CD.
Mhm. It's been pretty good.
Okay, so we are listening to Paul Goldman, who is the author of Journey into Oneness, which is a book of poetry that he has written, and it's a fabulous book. It's beautiful, and the U.S. price is $14.95, so it's the perfect gift to have, and you can just open it. That's what I've been doing, preparing for the show. That's oftentimes I just like to ask for inspiration, and every time it's been absolutely, the perfect poem for that moment.
And it's available everywhere in the world.
Isn't it nice?
It is. I mean, not being self-published, it's in the book distribution system. Anywhere online, any of your favorite booksellers can get it, too, if they don't have it.
That's
perfect. And you can always go to o-books.net.
Oh, no, I don't even know that one. Okay, so
yep.
Is that the direct publisher? Is that what that
yep.
is?
Yep.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So now we're going to go to... part two of the book, and what does this mean, the not I?
So we move from the I, that emphasis on the self and trying to uncover who I am, and then we go to the not I. We're stepping a little bit farther away from ego and that separation from self to find true self. That's
okay.
The not I.
All right. So the first one is endless joy, which I like, but I mean, there's just so many, and we did read the cracked open, but you go ahead and read, you know, whichever ones from the section are your favorite.
Okay. And I think I'm going to go with eclectic electric moments.
Okay.
And let me, and then we can get into the third section as well.
It's on page 55.
Yeah, I'm rolling around there. Okay. Eclectic electric moment. So the morning begins, if not ecstatic, at least a glimmer of understanding that there's so much more here than meets the eye. Nuances tingle beneath crisp awareness of who we are, who we could be, and the grand potential arising in each of us. Can you feel it? Can you feel the juicy essence of yourself breaking free, rising to the surface, beyond intellect? We are on the cusp of this amazement, this realization of our connection to the One. We do sizzle with it all, for this is the moment we've been waiting for all of our lives. We have at last arrived again, and we are so grateful to be alive, thriving in the glory splendor of this eclectic electric moment.
So you came up with the title to this, and then it just free-flowed.
Yes.
did you have an eclectic electric moment and you went, oh my gosh, that's the name of this, what I'm experiencing? Or
well, I have a lot of those on the good days, and then some other days I'm like everybody else and I get down in the dumps.
I know.
But literally, I can sit down. I mean, this writing process is amazing. Originally on settling, getting more still, delving into Buddhism, a lot of meditation at the cushion, that's where a lot of these poems, even going back to the Wild Joy ruminations, that's where they arose, was from the cushion. And early on, I would literally get up from the cushion and go, oh, I've got to go write that down before I forget it. And now it comes from that silence. And literally, I can be at the computer is how it happens a lot. And I'm going to put a Facebook post out on my page, or there's a really neat Facebook page. I'll plug that. One Heart, One Love, One Vision. That page is so fantastic. They have 103,000 people on that page in 2 years.
One Heart, One Love, One Vision?
One Heart, One Love, One Vision. Administered by Jill Ricklesford out of England. And just met up with her through that page about a year and a half ago. She invited me to be an admin in that page. I can throw out a fresh new poem on that page that goes out to 103,000 people.
You know, this is what I'm talking about, though, with the beautiful part of being online with forums. And Facebook is basically a blog, if you think about it. And it's like, it's all free, thank you, and please keep it that way. But it's just, you just never know who you're going to affect, you know? And like these interviews, you know, I get emails from people who listened to an interview maybe 6 months ago, but they're just like, oh my gosh, I just listened and I had to thank you because, you know, I was having this kind of a day or asking for guidance, and then all of a sudden, there it is.
Isn't that something?
I know. It's really something. But that's really cool that she trusts you to that level to be an admin and you can upload your own stuff. That's like really an honor.
Oh, it's phenomenal. I get all kind of good feedback out of it. And there's currently 13 admins, and they all do a remarkable job of putting out their voice, or we all do maybe a quote about light and love from some enlightened being, you know, and it's a great place, and people get a lot out of it. But I will literally go to maybe do a post there or my own page or somewhere else, and all of a sudden I'm writing this post, and I've shifted. Okay, Cindy, I've shifted into this place of eclectic electric moment. I've shifted into this ecstatic joy, and I'm writing a poem.
Right.
You know, and it is an ecstatic process. I'll go through, you know, bliss and joy and laughter and tears and some of the writing of this, because it's phenomenal. Of course, I have a friend who says, now, Paul, if you could only just live from the truth and joy and moment of those poems. in
every
moment. Wow,
but you know what? You're creating them for all of us to do that. So there you go. If you're cranky on a day, it's all right.
Hey, what are you going to do?
Oh, my gosh. Well, see, music does that for me. You know, I mean, and you and I both share that same, at least I'm kind of speaking, I'm thinking we're the same. Like, music just touches different parts of your soul that,
absolutely.
You know, and it's so funny, my son, who is turning 14 tomorrow, had his, it's called the Madrigal Concert. They transport the school into this whole medieval thing, and it's like back in the time when you're drinking wassail, and, you know, they're all, like, you know, ribbing one another, and all the time, like, just like it was back in that time. And the last song, they had the 9th, 10th, and 11th, and 12th grade choirs all singing in it, and it felt as if angels were there. And all of a sudden, I just had these tears running down my face, and, you know, I told my son, I said, boy, I said, I can't believe I cried during that last song. I said, that was just absolutely, like, it just really felt like angels were there. So last night I went to another concert. It was a choral concert. And he said, so how did you like it, Mom? I said, oh, it was really, really good. He says, well, did you cry? I said, no. He says, well, you cried at my concert.
See, that's going to be a highlight for him. That's cool.
I know, but it's true. You know, and David Primal, I mean, my gosh, you know.
Oh,
I
come
mean,
on. I can't forget this. Let's see. Waves are coming in. You know, waves are coming in.
I understand.
And so first he asked all the men to stand up, and I'm standing up. And at first I'm just like, oh, my gosh, to see all these men. Somebody told me a few of them weren't singing. And that was enough with the song and everything. And then he had the women stand up doing Hallelujah. And I'm leaning on Dawn, my wife, and my head on her shoulder, just bawling away.
Because there's
so many parts that were so beautiful. And, yeah.
Well, to hear, I mean, and the men sang.
They did. A lot of them did.
I know.
What it sounded like, because it's glory. Well, listen, I think you may have mentioned, or maybe I misunderstood, I'm not a musician. I love music. There's music in my poetry. There's a rhythm in my poetry. But
if you as a musician, though, it's weird. I guess it's...
Well, I think that's cool. You want to try something? I've got a new poem that's very musical. And this was only written a few days ago.
All right, let's hear.
Unpublished. Live.
Okay.
Okay, so listen to this. And it's a little bit longer, but not too long. It's called Syncopation. Holy new rhythms beat an ecstatic pulse beneath the firings and misfiring of my own desire. I come before you this day to discover new layers of mist that at times mask the mystery of syncopation. Beneath this, I am reggae, blues, jazz, funk, rock, folk. Even when I miss a downbeat or let inaudible chords fly free like an improv magician, I've never stopped dancing to the steps of love you have freely given me. So I remain the one who slips on the staircase of syncopation, sliding up and down, in and out, and all around at once, a crow in free fall.
Oh, my gosh. That's why I'm seeing you as a musician. Look what you just wrote about. I mean, that's just so funny.
I mean, that's a song. If I could be a jazz musician, that's a jazz composition.
I know. Well, here
so,
you are.
So I
hear,
you know, so we talk about the lyric poets. I mean, so there is... And there's certainly a different meter and rhyme, and I'm not an academia on that stuff. I like the free verse. But mine has a natural meter and rhyme, and some get kind of musical and funky like that. I like it.
Oh, well, it's perfect, absolutely perfect. So, listeners, if you want to call and ask Paul a question, feel free to do that. Nate, my producer, will bring you onto the call. The phone number to call in live is 347-884-9914. I'll repeat that. It's 347-884-9914. And we're listening to the last poem has not even we just got it hot off the brainwaves of Paul because it's not even published yet. But the other verses that you were hearing this evening are from his book, Journey into Oneness. And Paul, let's listen to another one of the pre-recorded, you know, with the put with your voice already recorded with the music. So which one should we do?
How about Birthed?
Okay, here we go. We're going to go to Birthed.
She who birthed the seed of the universe, birthed woman, who gave birth to each one of us. Without this divine feminine, none of this dance would exist. On this holy day of celebrating the Divine Mother, let our exaltations ring loud. A call goes out for every day to be hailed as another victory for our Beloved, who birthed us all into being simply to demonstrate love incarnate. May you and yours always be aware of whence you came from. She who birthed your mother and all mothers. Celebrate, celebrate, celebrate. Each day a newborn awakens so that we can remember our source. All blessings to you, Divine Mother. In your love and grace, we are each one birthed anew, day by glorious day.
Wow. So for the listeners that do not know about the Divine Mother, would you like to talk just a little bit about that? Because this is a powerful, powerful song.
Yeah.
There are Divine Mother gatherings all over. I think that song should be sent to them.
Absolutely. For me, the whole body of the work of this poetry is celebrating the Divine Mother, Divine Feminine, you know, and especially for men, and there are also women who, are not as in touch with that either.
Right.
So, I just see that as opening up to the divine source of love. I became a oneness blessing giver in July of last year, and that's really where the title Journey into Oneness comes from. And once I became a oneness blessing giver, these poems only were written between July and February, July last year and February when I submitted the book.
This is since you've been doing the Mukti Diksha with the oneness blessing?
Mm-hmm.
Do you want to describe that since you're offering that as one of the things at your center?
Yeah, we do have a oneness blessing group, offers a oneness blessing meditation facilitated by Rainbow Moon, and in any oneness blessing group you can get to, they're open to the public to experience.
And that's the Divine Mother working in your life. Look how quickly this all came.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, lots of things have come about very quickly with this.
Yeah.
And that does not mean that there will not continue to be shifts and rapid shifts in many different directions. Some unexpected at times.
Well, I just think that is a beautiful song. And I have a friend, with your permission, that takes groups. She's taking a group to Bali to do a Divine Mother conference. I would love to send this song to her, if I may.
Sure.
Okay.
Please do. I would love
to
have it.
She did the very first Divine Mother gathering that I went to back in the early, I guess the mid-1990s in Santa Fe. And she had people from all over the world that came.
Wow.
And I'm actually going to India early January for 2 weeks, and I will be visiting and honoring, in India the mother is all. I mean, it's the worship of the highest order, and they understand. I mean, that song just spoke to me of that. It's beautiful.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. I really like that a lot, too.
Well, you are very welcome, and I think now we should segue into part two of your book, The Not I. We'll do another couple of readings from there.
Okay, and I've got one right here. It's called Knowing One. We who are one with each other journey from the source of love, step by step, to return to the same source. Along the way, at times, we may become distracted by this or that and forget for a brief moment the connection of one to another. Realization of this cognitive distortion shifts us back to the truth. We see ourselves looking back from the one who sits next to us, the knowing one. We who are one with each other. Actually, that was the last line.
That's good.
We who are one with each other.
Yep, that's it. We are one with each other.
Mm-hmm.
How about Is Today the Day? Do you like that one? Oh, I'm sure you like it. You wrote it. But
what page is that on?
It's on page 71. It's so simple, but it's just so powerful. It's hard to choose. There's so many I like.
Wonderful. Ah. Oh, yeah. Oh, thank you. I like this one a lot. Okay. Is today the day? Words etched in Sanskrit appear at twilight where my feet touch the ground. Om Shanti Om. Om Shanti Om. Across my path lies a whispering snake. I hear amidst her slumber, Kundalini, Kundalini, awaken. A flash of heat arises within me as the question is asked, then answered. Bliss? Om Shanti, Om Shanti, Om.
That's just beautiful.
Thank you.
So, Mr. Paul, we're going to give the website again. We have time to read more of the poems from the other chapter, and we're going to do one more song, poem to a song. But is there anything else that you want to share with our listeners? I mean, you've just been on quite a journey. And, you know, listeners like to know, who is this person on the other end of, you know, this magical radio show? I mean, can you tell us just a little more about some of your dreams for the future and your partner? You're both doing such wonderful work. When I looked at the two of you at Dave and Pramal, I just thought, oh, my gosh, you two just radiated love. It was just beautiful.
Thank you. Yeah, that's Dawn, my wife. And we're both on quite a journey. And where it's going to take us, I don't know. The universe has an amazing way of pushing and prodding and pulling us along. Being a retail metaphysical store in this economic climate, even though it's illusory, it can be a challenge.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Everything's been affected. But, you know, they can shop on your site. I'm going to encourage you who find their way to the show, forward it. You can forward a link to it. You can send people to the Spirit Seeker site, and they just click on the Blog Talk link, the icon, and it goes right to the shows. But this is a perfect gift. And, you know, Paul is doing a wonderful service for the Midwest. And, you know, we need to support as much as we can, either through the internet, you know, and you can buy any of these books or CDs through there. And, you know, he's just given us so much knowledge, just even in the short time we've been on this call, like with different Facebook pages, One Heart, One Love, One Vision. I mean, how many people did you say, you know, have been on
there? There are 103,000 people on that page.
That's just amazing.
And you know, through the efforts of Jill Ricklesford, who created the page, and then the admins that have been on the page. When I got on it a year and a half ago, there were 12,000 people.
Wow.
And because you talk about a circle, a sacred circle, I mean, because of what's on there, I mean, people are drawn and drawn and drawn to that page, and it's sky's the limit on that page. And I really believe in my heart of hearts that sky's the limit for Journey into Oneness, that this will be falling into people's waiting arms and laps, and that lights will be lighting up, twinkling around the globe with this book, and the next books to follow. I'm going to do another spoken word CD. You know,
wow.
My dream would be to literally be out there sharing these words with everybody all around the planet, literally, going from state to state, country to country, maybe universe to universe, if that would be possible.
Well, you just never know. And, you know, I remember one time I was teaching in Philadelphia. I was teaching a breathwork, like rebirthers. And there was a whole contingent in that class that had come from Europe, because in 9 days they could go, you know, deeply immersed, nonstop breathwork. And at the end of 9 days, they were actually able to put their shingle out and go out and start seeing clients. But, you know, you can imagine it was a 9-day deep, deep, deep.
Mm-hmm.
At any rate, one of the people from the community, it wasn't in the class, but one of the people in the community had just taken the hot stone massage class and came and said, look, you know, I'm still practicing, so I would like to offer anyone who wants it a hot stone massage for $25. So, of course, the whole sign-up sheet was filled within moments. And, you know, because we'd been doing emotional release work, we're like, hot stone massage sounds really good. So what happened, I'll never forget it. It was just, and I was teaching about physical immortality that weekend. So here we were, you know, physical immortality. And, you know, I only taught, you know, 1.5 of the days. So I had time. I got my massage, too. At the end of it, this person had, just barely, as I said, come out of the training, was practicing. this lady was hired into four different cities in Europe, all expenses paid, housed, fed, and paid to come do hot stone massages.
Fantastic.
Because this person just got it, I'll offer it for $25, see where it goes. And it's like you just never know where the seeds that are planted will bloom. And
well, absolutely. I am an ecstatic poet for hire.
Well, and you just never know. I mean, you never know. I know.
You know, just give me a space. Let me have a few books out there and autograph it. You know, pay my expenses. We'll be fine.
Oh, my gosh. So, listeners, if you want to call Paul instead of, you know, doing the website, his phone number is 816-561-7900. I'll repeat that, 816-561-7900. And his website is stonespiritlodge.com.
And they can always write directly to Paul at stonespiritlodge.com.
Okay. All right, so you can write to them, et cetera, and he's bringing all kinds of wonderful things to the Kansas City area, but his everything's far-reaching. It's just far-reaching is what I get. But he's offering an open gratitude open mic night. He's offering live performances. He's offering, you know, things for sale. You can buy crystals. You can buy flutes. You can buy Eastern, you know, beautiful Saraswati. I don't know about Saraswati, but I know you've got Kuan Yin on your site.
Mm-hmm.
Different spiritual tools. And this is a way to support Paul in all of his efforts because he can ship anywhere in the world. But if you know of someone who would love to have a poet of this nature who can, you know, just definitely – I mean, I this is what I see. I'm just going to give you a little mini reading. I see you in living rooms with 20 people, 20 and 25 people, and signing books and, you know, people having coffee, tea, and, you know, like little desserts, and you being there reading your poetry and then beautiful chanting going on afterwards. I mean, I just think you could create your own little magical evening on how you want to do this.
Sign me up for it.
I'm serious.
You know, the medium Troy Parkinson out of Minnesota?
I have heard of
he is wonderful. He was here in Kansas City, and I got to spend some time with him. He's also working on a documentary. He's a film producer, and he's making this documentary on his spiritual endeavors too. But I visited with him, and one of the things that he got in visiting with me was, and I hope he does this someday, he could see me reading in a cave to people sitting around a fire.
That would be exquisite, too. I mean,
and
I could see that.
He would film that, okay?
Yeah.
And now I've just come across a videographer in Sedona, Arizona. And so now I'm picturing meeting this person. I haven't met him yet, but somebody's going to introduce me to him. I'm picturing, we ought to do a DVD of my reading right there around the Red Rocks and everything, right around a vortex or something.
Well, Boynton Canyon is the oldest vortex in Sedona.
Mm-hmm.
It's the only one of the vortexes that is perfectly balanced, masculine and feminine. All the rest are either masculine or feminine. And it has the womb cave, but you have to, like, really hike back to that. So it would probably be, you know, much better in Boynton Canyon. I mean, it's just, you know, the South near Enchantment. There's just so many spaces out there. But really, any of the canyons, the Red Rock would be exquisite.
That'd be nice. I look forward to doing that, too.
Yeah, exquisite. But, you know, even with, I mean, there's just so many different venues. So, listeners, if you know of someone that could use Paul's services, by all means, contact him. And, okay, so it is 10 to 8. I need to make a couple of announcements, and then we're going to listen to one more song, and we're going to listen to, hopefully, two more poems. What I want to mention to all of our listeners is that Spirit Seeker Magazine just celebrated a couple months ago its 14th year in print. We started off in St. Louis, and we expanded to Kansas City a little over 3 years ago. And then we added Chicago most recently in June of this year. What I want to mention is that the paper is the people in the Midwest are fortunate. They get the print magazine right there. It's made possible by our advertisers. But starting in our December issue, we've been expanding the online edition. It's because, as you will read in one of the articles that is online only, they are predicting that in the next 10 years, newspapers will no longer be in print. We're becoming more environmentally conscious. The 20-year-olds are like, you've got to be kidding. I would never, you know, eat a tree or burn a tree or whatever. Instead, they read everything online. They subscribe to, you know, all the different news media, being much more eco-conscious. So this month, you can go to spiritseeker.com and you will see, even those of you in the Midwest that are listening, there are 8 more pages online this month. And there's a wonderful 2012 Prophecies from Ancient Records. There's an article by Alan Cohen, an interview with Donald Altman. There's Ditch Your Inner Critic, which is fabulous. Probabilities and Predictions, Love, God, and the Art of French Cooking, and then we've also added an entertainment concierge, and he reviews all the different plays, you know, anything happening in theater. It's in Chicago, but as we all know, in the Midwest and, you know, nationwide, all of those are eventually shown in different cities, and so you can read and then go, oh, I've heard of that play, or oh, I've heard of that whatever, and so all of that is now online with spiritseeker.com. Okay, so now we're going to come back, and Nate, let's listen to the last song that we have, and Paul, what is the title of our last song? Isn't it Wake Up, or...
It is. Wake Up.
Wake Up. Wake Up. Okay. And then we're going to come back to a couple more poems.
Wake up. I am. Wake up. I am. Or am I only fooling myself? If I were fully awake, all of this hubbub and humdrum stuff that fills the human field of my existence would not matter. Not one thing would rattle the imagined rusty bars holding me inside this illusion of something other than that which I hunger for. Wake up, I am. Wake up, I am. There is so much to wake up from. Am I able to just flip the switch and release the scene I've let mask, the striking beauty before me? For by now, she is certain comfort, an old friend who has never left me in the midst of cold abandonment. Yet I know the only way past this unreality is to plant both feet firm in the quicksand of my faith. Wake up! Wake up! Wake up! I am. At last, I am.
Got to wake up.
You know, there is no sleeping anymore, and I know Mercury went direct today. Yay!
Yeah.
And we just had a full moon in Gemini with a lunar eclipse, and it's like, okay, what more do we want to throw into the mix? You know, and it's like, it's just wake up. Wake up.
Absolutely. I mentioned getting the poems out to the universe, and this next one is called There Is a Spot.
Okay.
There is a spot. In a universe light years away, where I know I was born. At last, I have found you. One look at these stellar images of swirling cosmic matter, and I know that I found my way home. A lifetime spent wondering, every ounce of my being held back by the gravitational pull of this lovely speck of a planet. And now, I am at once flooded with a new luminosity. My ears now hear the quasar pulse of your galactic nucleus. Your love radiates at a frequency that my heart has longed to feel again. All I want to do is free fall into your galactic arms, just free fall into your loving galactic arms, ever and ever without end. Just free fall into the purple swirls of your infinite love. I have come home.
I feel like Rumi's here. I mean, some of your poetry is just, I mean, it just feels like Rumi.
Thank you. That was some of the early comparisons on the CD, too. They said, you know, the music was great, but you're reading a Rumi. So
Well, it's true, though. I mean, that's just how it feels.
So, wow. Well, you know, that stuff's come through for the ages. And there was Rumi, there was Hafiz, Kabir, Tukharin, there were women Hindu saints, Lalashwari, and some that were, you know, and so this is in the fiber of our being, and it's a matter of sitting still, listening, and really having that grace to have it come, I guess.
Oh my gosh. Well, I would like to hear you read the Imperfection on page 99.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I like that one. Of course, I like them all.
And I'll let you choose one, but I just really like this one.
Okay. and it's called Imperfection. The mirror of our imperfection evaporates in wisps of air as the truth of who we are manifests, now seen through eyes divine. All roads offer only lanes that gently merge in one direction. The upward spiral siren call has been heard, and we do nothing, and we do everything. Transcendence awaits, and we know there is so much time for all that is to pass through us like whispers. We whistle a tune heard by a new breed as the call of grace sweeps across the landscape, crisp, serene, and in divine perfection.
So, listeners, that was called In Perfection. And these are all beautiful poems by Paul Goldman in his latest book, Journey into Oneness. You can find it in any bookstore. You can find it on Amazon. You can just go to his website, stonespiritlodge.com, and, you know, there's a link there for, you know, to buy it. And then the music that we've been hearing is from his CD that is available also through his website.
You know, what I've done recently, just to have fun with this, I Google Journey into Oneness. And you can go back page after page, 23 pages, you're still getting hits. There's a series of three videos I did on YouTube back in August to kind of pre-launch the book. So I've got about a half dozen or eight videos on YouTube, too. You
That's
usually
perfect.
Find them under my name or just search Wild Joy or Paul Goldman Ecstatic Poetry and you'll find them.
Okay, so we have time for one more. And then did we do Hearken the Call? No, we did not do Hearken the Call.
Give me a page number.
It's on page 109.
Okay. And then I had a real, real short one that's from Short Shifts, the new coming book that I, if we can fit it in. But.
We're going to, I'll tell you what, I think we have time for both. Let's go.
All right, here we go real quick. Okay, it's called Hearken the Call. Hearing the call of love once more, we are reminded of all the ancient wisdom. We turn away from that which no longer serves us. And walk toward the startling light, into the revelation of everything. We remember this day all over again, falling deeper, ever deeper into a divine love. What more bliss can one ask for? What more?
Remember this day all over again, falling deeper, ever deeper into a divine love. I just love that. I love that. Okay,
thank
now
you.
Is this next one, is this published or is this how?
It's unpublished. And
okay.
Actually, the last one was a good one to end on because it's, but I do want to offer this one. This is also another new one that came out of November 8th, actually. And it's very short. And
okay.
Like I say, we'll be in short shifts. It's entitled Seasons of Our Lives. At the certain falling of autumn leaves, we now realize that we too go through seasons of our lives.
Oh, repeat that, please, one more time.
I will. I get that. Seasons of our lives. At the certain falling of autumn leaves, we now realize that we too go through seasons of our lives.
That's like an R.D. Lang.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about, his book Knots. It's like you have to really pay attention because it's like, whoa, here it is.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
it's a nugget and you got to grab it.
I know. Well, it's just perfect. Okay. So that was, you know, these last two were perfect to close, you know, because we are in the holiday season and, you know, Paul's CD and his book Journey into Oneness are available for the perfect holiday gift. There's still time to order them. And his website is stonespiritlodge.com. This is the man who brought David Primal to the Midwest. He's bringing wonderful, wonderful different concerts. He was part of the Celtic concert that just played through the Midwest. And he's just a fabulous person, and you can shop on his site and, you know, buy different gifts to send. And, you know, we need to honor the people who are doing the work and making all of these beautiful things possible. So, Paul, thank you so much for being our guest, and may you just have the best holiday season.
You too. Thank you so much, Cindy.
Okay.
Namaste.
Okay, bye. Namaste. Good night, listeners.
Bye.
Thank you.
welcome to the Spirit Seeker Hour. Spirit Seeker Hour is your chance to delve into the world of your inner spirit. The Spirit Seeker Hour is brought to you by Spirit Seeker Magazine. Go to www.spiritseeker.com to find out more. And now, here's Cindy Meyer.
Hello and welcome, and this is the Cindy Meyer Spirit Seeker Hour that is brought to you each and every Tuesday. And I just have this honor and privilege of interviewing authors, musicians, poets, just healers, people that are just doing frontline work and on this planet right now and really making a difference. And I must say that, you know, you just look at the people that are drawn to the show, and people from all over the world are listening. It's just this wonderful, wonderful forum for all of us to come together. So I want to mention that this show is brought to you by Spirit Seeker Magazine, which you can read at spiritseeker.com. And each of the radio shows, we're normally on the back cover, but sometimes it's in the middle. But each month we profile all of the different people that we're going to interview. And it can be read at spiritseeker.com. It's been in the Midwest as a print magazine for 14 years. But we've evolved and grown, and we have a international listenership on the radio show. We have people that are on our email list that let us know about different worldwide global events. And actually, I met our guest tonight through some of this outreach. I have studied with some sound healers that our guest has studied with, and there was an introduction made, and then the next thing you know, here we are on Spirit Seekers Radio Show. So without further ado, I want to welcome our guest. Her name is Lauren Lane Powell, and she has been on the front edges of sound and singing since she was a tiny little girl, and she started professionally teaching people to sing in 1989 with private vocal lessons, and she's trained in a lot of different toning and, you know, different sound therapy. She's created CDs. We're going to get to listen to some of her music tonight. But she likens music to the voice, or I should say not so much music, but the voice is the breath of God made audible when allowed to flow naturally. And then the next thing you know, we have sound. And so, Lauren, welcome to the call, and let's just hear so much about your history and you know, how you came to be doing this.
Well, thank you so much, Cindy. I sure appreciate the opportunity to share. As you suggested during my preview there, I have been singing since I was very, very young, probably before I could speak, my mom says. So I grew up with a love of the voice, and through my training in opera, I was basically untrained.
Huh.
Opera, while I sung opera for 10 years professionally, I was sick all through college. Opera,
really?
For me, is not natural. So I would sing with one voice and speak with another.
Oh, how
and
funny.
Never the twain shall meet. So when I was speaking, I was using my throat muscles, which is how most of us speak. And you can hear the edge. Very often it's misunderstood. I got asked very often if I was angry. No, I'm not mad. Why? Mm-hmm. Our tone of voice colors everything we say. So while I was speaking, I was using only my throat muscles, and consequently, there was very little space for the sound to vibrate in physically, thus the edge. So as soon as I got out of college, I had maybe 14, 15 students a week, wasn't making a living, couldn't break through, and I knew that there was something missing. So I started really scrutinizing my own voice, how it sounded, how it felt, and had a major breakthrough when I discovered that what felt the best actually sounded the best as well in singing now, and was a whole lot more universally accepted than opera was. So while I was practicing reclaiming, if you will, my authentic voice, I started attracting more and more students because what I was teaching was something that was more, much more organic, from the bottom up. And I stopped getting sick. My students started to heal. And this was something that went way beyond just singing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, yeah, it's just phenomenal. And it became such a necessary part of my own life to not only be able to sing from the core, from the Dantian, well below the diaphragm, that other things started to change. My forgiveness work deepened and became more necessary. My center of peace and meditation became a whole lot more effective very quickly. And everything I was doing vocally started spilling over into different parts of my life.
You know, it's interesting how you share about Sing for Your Soul, Before Baby and Beyond. And you were talking about how your mother sang to you when you were in utero.
Mm-hmm.
Deva Premal had the same experience. I don't know if you've ever listened to her music, but
yes.
Okay. And she shared that, like, the whole pregnancy, her dad was in meditation, like an hour, and they were OSHA meditators. And then they would chant the mantras. And then the whole delivery process, when she was being delivered, all of them were chanting the mantras and everything that she'd heard the whole way through the pregnancy. And then look at what she does for a living now. So isn't it interesting that your mother sang to you like that when you were in utero?
It's interesting and profound, because the other way that my mom used music was to help me learn through mnemonic device. I was dyslexic and learning disabled, but no one caught it. I just thought I was stupid. But everything I had to memorize, if my mom put it to a melody, I had no problem.
Right.
So music was such a huge part of my upbringing that I just assumed everybody could sing. And when my students, who came to me swearing that they couldn't sing, the only reason they couldn't was because someone somewhere told them so, and they stopped and stuffed it, and it became a malady for the rest of their lives until the moment they broke free using that central core part of their body. And when people hear themselves sound like angels and sing on key for the first time, it is hugely healing, enormously awakening, and people weep. And I thought originally, and this is part of it for sure, it was just because they were doing something they were convinced before that they could not do, which in and of itself is healing. But what I'm learning is, with the breath we have to use to hit the high notes and to speak from our center, those are also the muscles, and that is also the same breath into which we stuffed the toxic emotions that shut us up in the first place. Mm. So by singing, by emoting, by letting loose of that breath from those same muscles, we're also releasing toxic energy, old toxic wounds that we don't even have a clue mentally that we're still even hanging on to.
Well, you know, I am a rebirther, and I've studied all kinds of other breath work over the years. And it's funny what you're talking about, because, you know, I try to explain what breath work does to people. And I said, imagine, I mean, and, you know, it's like impossible, you know, get out of your head, get into your heart. That's basically what breath work does for you. But I explain it, like I said, imagine like a glass of water with sediment at the bottom. If you were to pour more water in there, that sediment would get all stirred up, and then it would get murky. But if you continue to add more breath or more water, eventually it would disperse and become clear. And that's what the voice does. It toning and chanting and singing, and it vibrates all those cells.
Absolutely, absolutely. And to physically unlock the toxic emotions from the abdominal muscles allows my forgiveness work to be incredibly physical and active through that same mode of breath. So all of the workshops that have evolved out of Sing for Your Soul and into Harmonies of Healing incorporate the use of the breath, probably pretty similarly to what you do with the breath work. And it dumps out, excavates, purges the toxic emotions on a very physical, deep level. Now there's a void, there's an emptiness. Now when I forgive, that fills that emptiness. And it feels like such a physical clearing because I'm using those same muscles into which I stuffed those emotions in the first place. And it's just incredible.
Yeah, so Lauren teaches these classes on forgiveness, and it's like the vibrations of forgiveness, which I think, I read that, I went, oh my. And she says, to err is human. I mean, we're all human. We're all going to err. There's no one who's walked this earth that's like even perfect. But to forgive is divine.
Yes. Well, and I get to remind myself all the time, Cindy, that forgiveness never takes someone off the hook.
Right. Doesn't mean that it was okay.
Exactly.
Some of the things that happened.
When mom and dad were going through the divorce, my biggest source of control was my little sister, and I was not very nice. So with her now as an adult and my best friend, as she forgives me, we get to remind each other that it never makes what I did to her right, but it heals her, and it lifts us both up. It's a physical act of healing and getting rid of what no longer serves us, which is so important right now to help our planet evolve.
So you do so many different things. You do the singing bowls, you do workshops, you do affirmations, you do stress release, you do healing sessions, you teach song, private singing lessons. I mean, What else? Did I cover it all?
Almost. Covered it all. My mom and I were going through. She said, what do you have about, how many workshops do you say you have? Oh, about 5 or 6. And she said, come on, I know there's more than that. We counted 8. And I thought, oh, my gosh, how this has evolved. But you know what's interesting to me? Everything revolves around the pinnacle of the voice. Absolutely every single workshop.
Well, and I am so glad we're listening to one of the singing bowl meditations tonight. So,
oh, it's so exciting.
In 2006 is my first experience of actually playing a bowl. I studied in holographic sound healing and went to Egypt with sound healers from all over the world, and that was just this amazing experience. So, so you sell the bowls, am I right, on your website?
I do. And, you know, Cindy, I, too, love the bowls. They are so powerful. The larger ones now I am having people put their feet into, and foot things are healing. Neuropathy is healing. I mean, all kinds of amazing things happen when you play the bowl with someone's feet in there.
You have to put their feet in the bowl.
Inside the bowl.
See, I saw this on your website, and I thought it was like an illusion.
It's so cool. No, it's so cool. Of course, my arm can't go all the way around, but it doesn't need to. Just part way works. But the person whose feet are in the bowl feel it naturally from the feet all the way up. But I also have them hold the balloon because they feel so much vibration through the thin-skinned conduit of the balloon that they can have a sense of what the rest of their body is feeling that maybe they can't feel as easily as they can with their hands.
Oh, that's brilliant.
But then I do something even different. I add my voice to it. Where two or more are joined, I'm creating harmony and dissonance and adding more and more vibration, more and more harmonics, one or more of which the human body knows exactly how to receive perfectly. I no longer have to know what note works with what chakra, with what organ, and all that stuff. The books don't agree. But as long as whatever I'm doing is full and rich, it's full and rich of all the vibrations that might be needed at any given time.
So listeners,
that's why I teach people how to tone.
Yeah, I mean, this is like so cool. Lauren has all of the directions for the singing bowls on her website. And I know many of you have singing bowls, but you never put your feet in them, I can guarantee you. But what's funny, I'm going to give you the website first, harmoniesofhealing.com. And then the instructions for the singing bowls is there. But this is true. I was doing a feng shui consultation many years ago on a client and friends, she was both, on her new office. And when I got there, she said, don't even laugh at the shoes I have on. I only have one pair of shoes that I can get my little fat feet into. And I said, what's going on? She says, well, you know, I've got rheumatoid arthritis. And she said, something's just flared it up. And she says, I am just miserable. So I occasionally bring it now, but normally I use tuning forks now when I'm doing clearings on homes. But this particular time, this was before I was trained in the tuning forks, so I used to schlep my big singing bowl with me through elevators up, you know, just, you know how it is. I know you do, Lauren. And so,
I know exactly how it is.
I know. So there I was clearing everything, and then I just looked at how miserable she was, and I said, okay, I want you to sit in the center of your office in this chair, and I want you to just receive this healing session. If you're open to that, she goes, anything. So I did what you're describing. I did the bowl, and then I just toned, and I just took, you know, whatever sounds came through. And when I was finished, her swelling and her feet, totally gone.
Yep.
You know, one other time I did the same thing with a knee. It was someone who'd been to everybody in town, and she came to me for a psychic reading, and I said, I just learned this new thing. I kid you not. I had just done it over the weekend. I said, you want me to see if I can, like, clear your knee? She says, okay. It was totally fixed. Because sound, I mean, just explain. I mean, you'll do a much better job than I will, because I don't even know how to explain it, but you do. I mean, what happens with sound when it vibrates all the different cells? I mean, tell us just a little bit about your take on this.
I sure will. Think about all the different kinds of vibrational healing that are out there and have been for a number of years that your listeners may be a little bit more familiar with, if not sound healing, like Reiki. A hands-on healing, acupuncture, acupressure, a massage therapy, ultrasound. Anytime there's something wrong with the body, it's simply an unbalanced flow of energy or something that's out of whack, not flowing the right way. So to apply Reiki or massage therapy or chiropractic, move things around to put back into balance what might be in discord. Sound healing does the same thing. It actually, firstly and most importantly, relaxes the body very quickly, very deeply, almost in spite of itself. I don't know anyone who can stay tense and upset and nervous when they hear one of those big bowls.
You can't.
Everything just kind of washes away. And it's in that relaxed, peaceful place that we know our bodies can heal themselves. So the first step is to be peace-filled in our body and out of our mind to be able to receive whatever healing is there. Then, at that relaxed state, the tones themselves can go into the body even more penetrably than in a tense state, and they go into the body and move things around like ultrasound does.
That's a great way to explain it.
Thank you.
Yeah, I mean, because, you know, an ultrasound is basically sonic waves. It's ultra sonic. And, you know, and that's what, you know, it's so interesting. You know, I used to take people swimming with dolphins, and I the last time I went was 1997 when the child that will be 14 tomorrow, I was 8 months pregnant with them. So that's how far back this goes. And that was my last group that I took with dolphins, because I knew once I had him, my life was going to be, you know, quite different. So I had a children's program, and, you know, the dolphins love sound. They just, they just love sound. And so,
I bought the bowls on the boat in Key West once, so we just attracted them from everywhere.
Do you know Captain Vicky? That's who's my dive captain.
I was on the boat with a bowl.
Oh, I can believe it. So, I know, because Captain Vicky is the best. She's a Reiki master.
Absolutely.
And she's trained in, you know, Up Ledger's cranial work. She has a son with special needs and, you know, done all kinds of stuff with Up Ledger's work. Mm-hmm. And so that last trip, I actually had so many, I did two boats, because I'd let the kids come out one day. I had a children's program. I hired the Unity Church youth director from Key West to do the children's program, because I had older kids and other people were coming with kids. I'm like, will you do the kids' boat? Well, the kids' boat kept making encounters with the dolphins all the time.
Yep.
Because they were playing fun music. You know how Captain Vicky is. Oh, and then they were laughing. And then here's the adult boat. You know, just not quite as snappy. And
it's a high vibration.
Just, Oh, I know. They love the joy.
It is a high vibration.
I know. But the last time I got into the water and I was with this lady who was on the trip for her 70th birthday. Her daughter had paid for her to come on this trip. And I said to her, I said, Marcy, I said, you know, I'm 42 and I'm just, you know, I missed a couple of the tests I was supposed to have during this pregnancy. I don't know. I just somehow the doctor missed it. And and I said, I just want to pray for the dolphins to come and scan this baby. And if anything needs to be corrected, just have them do it now. I kid you not, Lauren. They came from all four directions. There was one north, south, one east, west. They were all there. And I look over, and I'm crying. And I look over, and Marcy's crying. And, I mean, it was just you could just feel it pulsing from every direction. And
I love it.
Oh, my gosh. And my girlfriend used to take people swimming with dolphins. And she's the one who kind of mentored me on a lot of the different things that could come up. And this one time she had this group, and they were sitting on the edge of the dock, and this one woman was just petrified to go in. Because, you know, those dolphins are not like flippers. They're way bigger. You know, I mean, people think, oh, little flipper. You know, no, they're not. They're very big, and, you know, it's kind of scary. And so she was just sitting there, and she just was afraid. And all of a sudden, this dolphin came flying out of the water with its beak and smashed into one of her breasts. And it left such a bruise, they thought maybe something was broken. So when they went to the hospital and they took the x-ray of where that dolphin had smashed into her, she had a huge breast tumor that she didn't know about. That dolphin had scanned her and knew that she was afraid and knew that she had something bigger she needed to deal with and just was like, okay. I mean, and that's sonar.
Huge.
I mean, that is sound and, you know,
it
I mean.
Absolutely is.
So I just think you're fabulous. I mean, you know, and when you called me after being at David Halsey's living room, I was like, okay, she's tuned in. So I'm assuming, I mean, have you studied with David as well then?
No, I haven't actually.
Oh,
we are, okay. I have not, we are colleagues. I found him through a cassette tape that someone in Orlando, Florida handed me and said, you would like this guy. And I put in his tape, and I listened to his spiel. I said, who is this character? You know how he talks.
Yes, he's
just wonderful.
Yes.
And I looked on the CD, I mean, the tape, cassette, that's way back when, and it said Dayton, Ohio. Well, I was living in Bloomington at the time, always looking for something nearby, and, of course, Dayton's 3 hours away. And knowing that they were having something in Indianapolis, that's only an hour away. So I called them, and we talked about my coming up for a retreat, and when I got there, nobody remembered my talking to them, and they didn't know where the heck I came from.
Oh, how funny.
And we've been together ever since.
Oh,
I did
gosh.
The bowls and the toning with the voice, and David does the tuning forks. Nothing
oh,
we say contradicts one another. Where he is just so open to have me and what I have to offer. And it's interesting because one of the other workshops that has grown out of this that David has hired me now to do for his teachers, for his fellow teachers now at the Tuning Forks, is called Honoring Your Inner Entrepreneur. How to
Ooh.
Market your healing work.
Brilliant.
Yeah, how to do this on the road. What does it mean to have a brand, and how do I use social media? And it's all about getting out of the box and into the bowl, because corporate America doesn't work. So we get to go within through meditation and prayer and song and breath and divine through our inner gut, our inner spirit, our intuition, what is my set of gifts and how do I use them to serve? And all
oh,
kinds of things happen in that eight-hour workshop. It's just tremendous. So I'm real excited. That's one of the biggest new things that has come out of this, and it's just over-the-top popular. It's so much fun.
That is absolutely amazing. I mean, you know, you're just tapping into some amazing things. You know, 2006 is when I studied, you know, the holographics on healing, which is with the crystal bowls. And the teacher had been one of the choir in the Gandharva CD that Tom Kenyon did way back when.
Mm-hmm.
And and so then when we went to Egypt, there were sound healers from all over the world. And we did sound healing in the temples. And, you know, I know some of the listeners have heard the story before, but you're going to get to hear it again. At any rate, we would be in the temples like at 5 and 6 in the morning before, you know, they would open at 8 o'clock to the public, but we'd be in there and we would be doing sound healing. And you can imagine doing some of the toning and the crystal bowl in these chambers.
Oh, yeah.
It was, you know, and they were made for sound, you know, the way they were designed. You know, Egypt especially, you go back in time, well, it's not just Egypt, Gregorian chants, the way the cathedrals were built. I mean, you know, you think of
Pythagoras knew important music was. Absolutely.
Right. It's like, how did this all happen? And it's like the, you know, like I said, the Gregorian chants and then the chants of Hildegard and Bingen. And, you know, I mean, there's just some of the stuff that is just so amazing. And then the Celtic chants, you know, it's like, oh my gosh, just amazing. So let's listen to one of your songs. Do you have a preference on which one you would like to have the listeners hear first?
Well, since we're talking about the toning, why don't you play the one from Metamorphosis first?
Okay. All right. So, Nate, if you would put Metamorphosis on first, we would be very grateful.
Thank you.
very beautiful.
How did that come across on the air?
You know, I thought it was fabulous.
Okay.
I mean, you could just feel it going up and down. Well, and listeners, if you want to call and share your experience, by all means do. Or send us an email, you know. But here's the phone number if you want to call and ask any questions for Lauren tonight. Is 347-884-9914. But that, just tell us what all we heard right there.
Well, back in ancient Greek and Roman times, they believed that not only did music heal, they could hear the music of the spheres. They believed that the turning of the planets made music. And what they heard even way back then were similar to our scales, but there were more of them than just major and minor. So through my music theory and music history and all the stuff I studied in college, which I dearly, dearly love, I started doing these bowl meditations. And the first one I did, which is the very first on the album, is in what's called Mixolydian mode. Now, that's a fancy name for a major scale with a lowered seventh note. In other words, do, re, mi, fa, sol, la, te, do, instead of ti, do. Now, it doesn't sound like much by itself, but in a collection of notes, as the vibrations work together, they believed way back when that each mode, each scale, had a different specific healing quality. Now, I haven't been able to find, you know, the books don't agree what mode does what healing. So they're all represented in the metamorphosis, which is probably why one track feels and sounds completely different from the other. Even though it's all voice and bowls, the harmony, the collection of notes are actually modal. They feel different from each other. And because they take you up from the C all the way up, they also seem to open up the chakras just because of the way in which they fall on the CD in chronological order from C all the way up.
Wow. So, Lauren, with your workshops and traveling, I know you've been traveling, is it since 1999 you've been doing this with the workshops?
Yes, 12 years, full time,
gosh,
on the road.
So tell us, I mean, what city are you based in?
I'm in Bloomington, Indiana, and I'm home a week a month on average.
What does it take to bring you to a city? For people who are listening to this saying, I want what this lady's talking about, because your workshops, you have 8 different workshops. Let's just hear some of the topics that you're offering.
Well, my first basis, of course, is called Harmonies of Healing. I use that to remind people how to use their own voices to tap into the healing energy of the quality of the powerful, dynamic, original, authentic voice. And that, of course, is the mainstay on which everything else flows, from which everything else flows. Then the toning circle is an opportunity to use what they've learned in Harmonies of Healing and put it into a practical application where I circle up all the singing bowls that I carry with me. We play and harmonize with our voices and the bowls with one or two people in the center of the circle at a time. And people just float away. It's amazingly profound, life-changing, residual healing. And those are the two I usually do when I go to a new community or a new thought church or a facility that's open to this. Hospitals now, hospice work I'm working through. It's just, it's really exciting what it all is opening up.
You know, so, I was in a hospital this weekend doing, you know, a lot of times I could call to do Reiki. Well, you know what? I'm trained in everything else too. So, but you know, it's like easy to go underneath the radar with Reiki.
Sure.
But this is a person who has cystic fibrosis and then had a lung transplant, which I had never even heard of this. I'm a former nurse. I was like, gosh, I never even thought about just transplanting the lungs and getting rid of the cystic fibrosis. I thought, I don't know the whole story, but nonetheless, this was a young man, and he had accepted the lung transplant, and then all of a sudden something went wrong, and he was right next to the ICU nurse's desk, or I would have been toning and singing. That's exactly what I wanted to do. And it was like, instead, and I know you're going to think I'm crazy, but I psychically toned.
I don't think you're crazy at all.
You know
sometimes
what?
All it takes is to feel that vibration and transmit it to somebody else
silence,
because it's still there.
Right.
Especially,
you know how I learned
it's a memory from you.
Yeah, you know how I learned this is that there's a lady from India named Amma Karunamayi. She lived in the forest for 10 years, and she would do out loud singing the mantras, and then she would chant the mantras silently inside. And either way, it didn't matter. Everyone around her got the energy of her 10 years of mantras. Like almost all day long. I mean, people would come to bring her food, but other than that, she lived in the forest, and she just did these mantras for 10 years. The wild animals would come lay their head in her lap.
I believe that.
So I thought,
in that high vibration, it's amazing how attractive peace is.
Oh, I know. And this young man, they didn't think would make it through the weekend, but he had so many people praying for him. And then I came along and just, you know, and he had been in a coma, and he came out. I psychically, you know, communicated before I got in there saying, you know, I was already sending the energy before. And I said, I'd really like you to be awake if at all possible so I can talk with you. But if not, I understand, you know. I get there, they're like, he just came out of this coma 1 hour ago.
Love it.
I know. At one point, you know, he had the tube down his throat and all that, and he couldn't really talk, but he looked at me, and his mom was there, and you know, basically he was saying, who are you and what are you doing? But, you know, it's like sound healing is just, I don't know. I mean, Lauren,
I think... It's primeval. It's ancient.
It is.
It's the wave of
it
the future, and we are the only culture in the world not using it full-time in our medicine until now.
I know. You know, I used essential oils and you know, I just kind of went under the radar with that. I picked lemon because I'm like, okay. And everybody's like, what's that lemony smell? What's it all the way down the halls? Now, if that's just one little drop of lemon oil, actually it's purification on the bottom of his feet, think what sound does.
Yes. Exactly.
You know, the first time I had my bell, like this bell that was from Bali, this high priest made these bells. I was at a conference, a Hay House conference in Las Vegas, of all places. I'd never been there before, and the only reason I was really there, I'm not a gambler, was because, of this conference. And so I picked this bell, having never rung it, but I just knew I had to have it. And she said a lot of people use it for space clearings and, you know, healings. And I was like, okay. So I saw my roommates. I'm like, look, I just bought this bell. Let me play it for you. I rang it, and it rippled all the way down this marble hall, all the way to every head turned.
Yep.
I mean, I had no idea what I had in my hands. So.
Mm-hmm.
So, Lauren, there's so many things that, you know, we're going to play another song in a minute, but I want to promote your work. So what can people do to bring you to their city? Do they need to, like, you know, is there normally a, like, 10 students or 8 students? What do you need to have your work be supported even more? Because we have people all over the world that listen to this show.
What I need is a platform.
Okay.
Anyone who has an audience of any size at all. 200 to 2,000. It doesn't matter. People in Ohio just brought me in to a metaphysical group on a Wednesday night. A woman was gracious enough to open her home on the following Friday and Saturday. We had 14 and 15 people come in for full-day workshops in her home, and it was absolutely outrageously successful. You know, I just love doing that stuff. And I'm all over the country, so once I have my 2012 itinerary up on the website, it's very easy to go, oh, well, she could fit into here, and this Wednesday and Thursday, maybe she could work here. I'm doing that on my way out to Virginia when I'm in April, and I'm working at Crossville, Tennessee, and then, you know, that kind of thing. So because I move around so much, it's very easy to figure out where I might fit in another venue, particularly in someone's home if they have a group that wants to get to know more about this. I just thrill with the smaller groups as well as, you know, the larger churches and auditoriums that I work with. So I love them all.
Oh, that's perfect. That's perfect. Okay, so what is the name of the other song that we're going to play now in here?
It's called Angel Flying. It's one of the very first songs I wrote in 1996. I had a memory of being 6 years old when I used to hover above my bed. And someone told me that that was impossible. And so I never did again. And Angel Flying is my answer to that. It is, I guess, my rendition of Puff the Magic Dragon.
Perfect.
I used to fly with the angels. And it's a completely different feeling than the Singing Bowls, because this is where I started, songwriting and singing and performing and recording and actually being a performer with concerts. And that in turn evolved into what I'm doing now with the healing, but I'm still doing the singing and the entertaining all at the same time, which is just such a joy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you can tell you love everything you do.
Oh, I
do. Okay, so it's Flying with the Angels.
Yes.
Okay, here we go.
Thank you.
Oh, my gosh. So, you know, you described, like, as a child, flying up above, looking down until someone told you you couldn't do it.
Yep.
Which, don't you find, Lauren, with all the work that you're doing with forgiveness and, you know, working with so many different people, like, children are the brightest little pennies, you know, and then all of a sudden they're told, what are you doing? You know, oftentimes when people are talking to, like, an imaginary friend, it's one of their spirit guides.
Well, absolutely, and that, unfortunately, can happen at a very early age. When we're infants, we know we're perfect. We yell and scream perfectly from those central Dantian muscles until we experience our first hush, watch out, shut up and sit down, at the very worst, abuse. That's when we start to hold our breath and gasp, and that fight or flight that sets up is absolutely necessary for that little one to for salvation. But it's that that is now getting in the way of a healthy adulthood.
So, Lauren, what do you think the greatest thing? I mean, you educate people through your website, and you have three websites. So tell the listeners which website or sites you would recommend to learn more about what you're doing.
Harmonies of Healing is the outgrowth of Sing for Your Soul. So they're basically the same one, just two different names until everything is switched over. HarmoniesofHealing.com. And on that has all of the recent workshops that I offer, with one exception. I just started last week, and I'm doing it by popular demand tomorrow night, a new workshop called Body by God, using the breath, using forgiveness work to love my body into its perfect, healthy shape to be able to truly serve spirit.
Wow, that's phenomenal. And then you've also, you have the one with the facial muscles, and it's like a facelift with singing. Can you tell us about that one?
It is. I just started having so much fun seeing my face, or what I thought was my face, not looking quite so healthy. And I started doing these fun little funky facial exercises that I remembered from God knows where. And I realized, you know, if I sing with that, if I tone with that, going ee-oo, I can feel those vibrations in the muscles I'm using. And all of a sudden, on the treadmill, I was making all these funny noises, working out to a great piece of music, and I thought, this is really fun. Gee, I wonder what this would look like on video. And instantly, I mean, within 2 months, I have that produced. I have my alter ego. I'm in pigtails. I'm making a complete ass of myself. But for 20 minutes, it's so much fun. People don't even know they're exercising.
Right.
And it's an inner facelift. It truly is an inner facelift. It's so much fun. So turning 50, I get to redefine what it looks and feels like every single day. And this stuff works to keep me young and healthy.
So if you are listening and still have not done your holiday gift shopping, see, there's just so much you can get. You can buy someone a crystal bowl and print off the directions on Lauren's site. I mean, seriously, she has so many little tips on, I mean, I bought my bowl and it was basically sent out, okay, here you go.
Mm-hmm, exactly.
I know. I mean, and luckily, you know, I'm not a shy person, so, you know, I kind of rolled with it. And, you know, I'd studied sound healing for a long time just on my own, listening to every kind of music I could listen to. But still, you know,
well,
it takes
people would email me. Sure, they would email me. Now that I have a bowl, what the heck do I do with it? So I got to kind of sit with it and figure out all the different ways that I personally use them, and that's why that two-sided sheet now, you know, came through.
Well, I just think, I just can't even imagine, like, you know, I use essential oils in my bowls. I use, you know, some of the Arasoma stuff in my bowls. I have never, ever put a person's feet in my bowl.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what? I get it.
Mm-hmm. You could use them for a burning bowl ceremony, too.
You can put fire in them?
They are heat impervious. Yes.
Oh.
Imagine writing down what no longer serves you, tearing it up into smithereens and burning it as you're playing that vibration. Oh, my goodness. Holy shift. Is it amazing?
Right. Well, let me tell you what I'm doing, and maybe you'll do the same thing wherever, what city you're going to. You know, I'm a big, big believer in love it, use it, or lose it, which is feng shui. And
mm-hmm.
my friend, Beatrix Quintana, who, by the way, will be here on my show the last Tuesday of December, she taught me how to work with new moon, full moon meditation. And full moon meditation, you always write down what you want to let go of. And then
mm-hmm.
you release it, which is similar to what you were talking about with breath work and, you know, using the vibrational sound healing of the bowls to, like, clear out what's in the body. And then the next thing you know, you have space for new things to come in.
Exactly.
So one of the things that I made this promise to myself, because I have so many people I teach this to, is I'm going to offer that once a month, the full moon meditation.
Awesome.
Yeah. And I'm going to do the burning ceremony. But I never, ever... So, I mean, we do it normally with a fire pit, but can you imagine with doing the bowl to it?
Oh, my God, it's amazing.
Yes, 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 yes. Okay, so we just have a couple more minutes. We played both songs. I just want to, what else would you like to say to our listeners? Because, I mean, this is powerful stuff. And
it is. And people who are listening who say, oh, yeah, I will be her only failure. Nobody can teach me how to sing. Let me give you a quick tip. This is something that you can grab a hold of right now. As you take a deep breath and then exhale, notice what part of your body wants to move. Chances are, if you're anything like I was, it's the upper chest. That's just habit. And even though that feels like a long, deep breath, it's probably just a long, shallow breath. Now put your hand over your gut, underneath your belly button. As you inhale this time, puff your tummy out on purpose from within. And exhale. Notice how that almost instantly relaxes the body. Now, by puffing the belly out, you're simply moving the internal organs out of the way, allowing that diaphragm to drop, instead of creating that thoracic fight or flight, stressed out breath that we do when we breathe through our chest. But it's what we do with the breath once we have the air down there that not only enables everyone to sing on key with a beautiful healing tone, but speaking my truth has also become incredibly physicalized. Toning for health will need to come from those low muscles as well. But the exercise I'll share with you right now that will help get us there will also develop abs of steel. So take in that low, deep belly breath, and with your lips together, silly but effective.
Oh, my God. So...
Now, wait,
well, you just vibrate it.
Add a tone to it. Add a tone. Instantly, your vibration is coming from those central muscles. I cannot go without using those lower muscles. And people are singing on key because of that exercise.
Okay, so we're going to be off the air in 1 second. So,
okay.
harmoniesofhealing.com. This is Lauren Lane Powell. Fabulous stuff. Like, please go to blogtalkradio.com to the Cindy Meyer page. Favorite the show. More people will find their way to Lauren Lane Powell and all the wonderful guests that I have on the show. Lauren, I can't thank you enough. This was just
Cindy,
a delight.
Cindy, thank you so much for the opportunity. I really honor and bless you.
Okay, and we're going to bring you to the Midwest somehow, maybe with one of the holistic conferences. We'll talk. I'm doing a
awesome
spring conference, and maybe I can tie it in with your Tennessee visit. Okay,
oh, that'd be
all
fabulous.
Right. So
love
thank
it.
You so much. Happy holidays, and we'll see you next week. Okay,
thank
good night,
you,
everyone.
Cindy.
All right,
good night.
Bye.
turn.